I love Christmas. I love Advent. I love our topic today, and that's love. There's no secrets. And there's just nothing like slowing down and thinking for a few minutes, maybe a few days, about God's love. My personal opinion, which you're welcome to have your own and differ from it, you'd be wrong and you'd pay a price in things, but you're welcome to be there. I don't think there's anything more life-changing for the believer than to continue to strive to understand God's love for you. So we're going to do that this morning. The backdrop is obviously the original gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, and everything that surrounds that. So that will be much of our filter this morning. But I just want to mention that I can't tell you how much of a difference this has made in my life. And I've referenced this before many times, but when I was a kid, I had opportunity to go to one of the best Baptist churches in America at the time, until just recently led by John Piper. And he said something that I paid attention to a few years ago, and he talked about exploring God's love. And I was one of those guys. I said, hey, I know God loves me, because, I mean, why wouldn't God love me? I mean, I'm me, and I don't know if you like me, and I'd like if you like me, but if you don't like me, that's fine. I like me. So I was like, you know, I know God, but it's been a great journey to really understand that, because it's life transforming. And so we're going to pull three things this morning about love and just work on them. And I've gotten lots of good feedback. Those of you that are using that devotional books that we gave out last week, keep doing that. If you missed a day or two this week, we're not going to fine you yet. Don't miss any this week, all right? It's there. It's a tool for your benefit, and hopefully that it's helping you out a little bit. But I want to just, in all of the Christmas hype, which I don't use that in a negative term, all the focus and the emphasis and things, we want to think about God's love today. Three things. The first thing is this: the start of God's love. Some of you can remember, if you are currently married, or maybe your spouse has passed away, or maybe you've been through the pain of a divorce, but you can remember when you fell in love with that person. Somebody raise their hand. Men. Good gravy. I've been trying to feed you guys opportunities for 15 years. You can remember that date, can't you, men? Look it up real quick on your phone before you get into the car. And, you know, it's interesting to me that in love, falling is one of the only times that's a positive word. Because, like, if you fall down, typically physically, that involves pain, right? If your financial broker calls you and starts talking about falling, you don't get excited, right? But when it comes to love, I fell in love with her, and she was perfect, and she still is. You've been hanging around a little bit, and so he gets it, all right? But you can remember that initial point. One of the things I want you to wrestle, some of you have got this, but God loved you long, 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 long before you ever were even on the face of this earth. That's how, that starts to help us understand God's love. You don't believe me? Well, we'll look at Scripture. Look at your note sheet. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says it this way. Long ago, even before He made, what's the Bible say there? The world. The world, the universe as we know it. The planets and the stars and the galaxies and all the complexities and the distance to the sun and too hot and too cold and angles and rotations and all kinds of stuff that's just way above my pay grade. Before all that stuff got put into place, what the Bible tells us is that God loved you. Well, some of you are like me, small-minded. And so you go, well, how can that work? It works because He's God. He's not the same as you and I. He's not the ultimate version of you or the ultimate version of the best person that you think is out there. He's God. What Scripture tells us clearly is before the world existed, He loved you. Even before He made the world, God loved us and He chose us. I'm going to stop you again. How many of you like to be chosen? How many of you are not going to raise your hand no matter what I ask today? As by definition, we like to be chosen as people. We like for people to choose us. Hey, that's a nice person. I'd like to be around them. Hey, I want you on my sports team. Hey, I want you on my work team. Hey, I'd like to have you in my neighborhood. Hey, I'd like to have you in my community. Whatever it is, we like to be chosen. It's part of who we are. The ultimate choice was what? When God chose you. We act like we're doing God a big favor. Yeah, I accepted Christ. I considered all other offers, and He came in the best. I felt like His follow-up was going to be better, and they just had some infrastructure things that just... Long before you picked God, God picked you. Chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. This is where I start to bog down because I can't go very far. Without fault in His eyes. A lot of what we do culturally in our Christmas celebration is to try to look good in the eyes of other people. God's not interested in that. He's saying, hey, I chose you, and in my eyes, the eyes of God, you look good. If you would be so brave and so bold, so wise as to engage God in a relationship through His Son, Jesus Christ, what Scripture just told us that is in His eyes, the eyes that count, you look great. You look without fault. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. And this gives Him great pleasure. How many of you know sometimes you make choices and they're not the best choice you ever made? But you picked. You hired the guy, you hired the gal, you bought the house next door to the... You found out it was better just to be casual friends and to be neighbors. But what Scripture tells us here is that it gave Him great pleasure. We praise God for the wonderful kindness He's poured onto us because we belong to His dearly loved Son. See, here's the truth, friends. God is the inventor of love. He is love. He's the initiator of the love relationship between you and Him. You didn't start it. He's also the completer, which I realize is not good English, but just deal with it. He's the maintainer. God is love. God also acts lovingly. He does loving things, but He is love. It's central to who He is. The reality is we have to decide, are we going to follow that love? Are we going to trust His love? You will do yourself a great service to understand the difference between God's love and human love. Other than the word, there's scarce little common ground because God's love is so much bigger and so much better. The start of it was not when you can remember. It's good to be able to remember a time maybe where you felt God's love in your life, where you felt God interacting with you in a special way, helping you, providing for you, encouraging you, whatever it was. That's all good, but that's not the start of it. The start was before He started creating the world. He loved you. Can we just agree so we can move on? That was a long time ago. Yeah. That wasn't last week or last year, and it wasn't even in November of 1968, which actually happens to be just a phenomenal banner year, but we'll talk about that later. Where are my November birthdays at? Where are y'all at? All right. God bless you. I know. There we go. Second thing we want to talk about this morning is the sufficiency of God's love, which is a way to try to talk about the completeness of it. The fact that it is not enough. It is more than enough. is more than enough in so many ways. If we look at the original story, look at that original cast. What we might call, from a theater standpoint, the two main characters, Mary and Joseph, they're not even married. Does that sound accurate to you? But they got a problem, right? She's pregnant, right? Which in the eyes of the world means they did what? Okay, don't talk about it. We're in church. But see, God chose to do something just incredibly unique in Mary's body. You got shepherds that are part of the story. And trust me, I love a rancher more than most people. Because ranchers provide me with meat. But it's not the most glorious industry. These guys are out running animals around fields. And God loves them. We have no indication. Maybe they did. I could be wrong. I've been that plenty already this week. But it could be that, you know, they took a couple hundred mile detour back to home and shower, shaved, and shine, and then showed up to Bethlehem. But we have no indication that that happened. Right? So they are recipients of God's love just the way they are. Hardworking. Maybe a little smelly because there weren't a lot of shower facilities available. Right? How many of you ever had to show up to an event in your work clothes? That wasn't your favorite thing. Eh? Sometimes it happens, right? But see, God's love is sufficient to include an engaged couple who's just willingly, simply offering everything they have, their entire life, to God. Shepherds, stargazers, mystics who aren't even part of the same country. They're foreigners. Right? So you start to see the fact that, hey, you know what? God's love really is inclusive. Now, as soon as I say that word, some of you ran a direction. Don't run there. I'm saying it's big enough to apply to everybody, not all behavior. Okay? Again this week, and this is just one of my pet peeves, so I'll share it with you because I know you're interested. But, you know, one of my Facebook friends said, you know, love sees no color. Oh, that just can't be true. If you don't look at people and notice the color of their skin, you need to see an optometrist. Because you notice the color of their sweater, of their car, of whatever. Really, biblical love doesn't care about color. That's not something that sways you one direction or another. So one of the fun things about our little foster guy, he notices skin color. And currently there's three colors of skin. You want to know what they are? I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm white, he's tan, and Miss Judy is brown. Now, Miss Judy is Mexican descent. It's my son's mother-in-law. All right? But the reality is, he didn't care. And God didn't care either. His love is sufficient to go across all kinds of boundaries that we have set up that God never intended to set up. They're not boundaries for his love. How many of you have ever had the pleasure of buying a brand new car? And raise your hand and keep it up, because we need to pray for you. Sorry about that decision. I'm just kidding. Some of your cars came with this great screaming deal. A 36-month bumper-to-bumper warranty. That feels good, doesn't it? You go, oh, well, hey, don't spoil my car. Because, you know, one of the things that's good about me is you don't have to be smart to be me. You just got to keep moving forward. And so I go, hey, from bumper to bumper, this thing's covered. But the bumper to bumper warranty comes with a 79-page packet explaining what it doesn't mean, right? It covers everything except if you ever drive your car in the rain, if you ever drive your car in the sunshine, if there's ever wind above 5 miles, you know, it's this entire list of, well, and pretty soon you're going, okay, if the cigarette lighter goes out, then I'm covered. But other than that, and I know I forgot, I should have changed it. I know they don't have cigarette lighters and you don't smoke, so anyways. God's love's sufficient. It's all caring. God doesn't go, hey, I love you, except I'm going to keep loving you except for if you do, you go, oh, that's why the Bible is so thick. That's the, no, that, no. The Bible is so thick because it's God trying to express his love for us, to try to get us to understand it, to give us example after example of just how sufficient God's love is. It's one of the most complete things, friends, that you'll ever experience here on earth. It's so much different than our human love because we just don't have the capacities that God has. In many ways, in one of the areas that it shows up is area love. Ephesians chapter 3 says it this way. I will pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your heart as you trust in him. Now, the more you read your Bible, the more you'll notice that God's love and us trusting in him travel together. Not exclusively, but often. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should. How many of you know we just got an instruction there from Scripture, right? As all God's people should, how wide and how long, how high and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you'll be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Some of you, when presented with something, you say, hey, you're never going to master this. That's like just pouring gas on the fire. That just sets you on a quest to try to figure it out, to try to get it right. And that's okay. Some of you, when you read scripture like that and it says, hey, this thing's so big, you're never going to understand it all. You go, okay, fine, I won't even try. Don't do that. Take time to consider. If we think in the physical realm, how could we measure God? Probably we wouldn't use inches, right? I was Christmas shopping the other day and I was looking at some different stuff and a little bit of a size difference. So I'm doing this and the guy goes, that one is 5/8 longer. And he's doing his job, and he looks at me, and he goes, 5/8 is about this much. Now, there's a lot I don't know in life, but I can pretty much get 5/8 right, okay? Now, I can't tell you about 5/100 because I'm not a machinist, all right? But, and so you know, would we use yards to measure God's love? Reality is, friends, is we don't get there. We don't have a mechanism to measure God's love. If we were to try to take a left-to-right measurement, and say, well, you know, God's love is kind of from here to here. And the problem is we got to think three-dimensionally. Scripture talks about long, so if we went front to back, how much far forward do you have to get before you max out God's love? How far backwards can you go and get outside of God's love? What's the answer to that? You can't. Well, what about the height? I don't know, the stars, I mean, we've shot some men and women up there quite a few miles. But Scripture has a promise there at the end that says when we will wrestle that, when we'll take the time to try to understand that, that helps us at a heart-soul level, like few other things. Then you'll be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. God started the love. His love is sufficient. That's to say that it's not just enough, but it's more than enough. Absolutely life-changing. Now turn your note sheet over. I need to get to our main point. All that was just introduction. We include that as part of your entrance fee. That was a joke, people. It wasn't a good joke, but it was a joke, all right? 1 John chapter 4 is really where I want us to dig in. But if we don't set ourselves a foundation, then we miss it. And that's simply this. There's a surplus that's a natural part of God's love. You know, there's not a lot of things that Scripture says, here's how the world will know you're a believer. Oh, culturally, we have a lot of them, right? I go to church. Okay, that's good. All right. I'm a nice gal. I volunteer. I'm a nice guy. You know, we quickly run out of things to say, here's how the world would know. What we know factually is the scripture indicates in more than one place that how the world knows you're a believer is by your love. Your love for God and your love for other people, right? So follow along with me. It's a chunk, but I'd had to, that's as much as I could chop it down. Let's just put it that way. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. That communicates that it's a love that's already in process. For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Here's the other side of the coin. Anyone who does not love does not know God. Now listen to me, friends, real quick. Eyes back up here. Be careful. It's not your job to run around and say who's a believer and who's not. Right? That doesn't mean you don't understand Scripture, but I'm not saying, hey, leave here today. Here's your Christmas mission. Go and start tagging people who's in and who's out. All right? We're here today to try to get it more right for God's honor. And what verse 8 says is, anyone who does not love does not know God. Why? There's a clarifier there. For God is love. It's what He is. He is love. All love comes from God. He doesn't just act lovingly. He doesn't just do things that are expressions of love, although he that's true. He is love. That's who God is. It's part of His character. God showed how much He loved us by sending His only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. It's not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Look at verse 11. Dear friends, he says again, since God loved us so much, we surely ought to love each other. We'll finish it off, but I got to just tell you this, friends. It's my sincerely held belief that if you're a Christian in here today, you ought to be a rock star at loving people. And I'll show you why here in just a second. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love has been brought to full expression through us. Pretty big deal there. God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He is in us. Furthermore, we've seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world, i.e. Christmas celebration. All who proclaim that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them and they live in God. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in Him. God is love, and all who live in love live in God. You can't separate the two, and God lives in them. Verse 17, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Why don't you feel free to go ahead and underline that? It's a process. You don't have to get it perfect from day one, but you do need to be moving forward. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face Him with confidence because we are like Christ here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we're afraid for fear of judgment, this shows that His love has not been perfected in us. There's still work to be done. We love each other as a result of His loving us first. Okay, where are my friends that grew up in the Catholic Church? You're a little bit more used to confession, all right? So we're all going to go Catholic here for a minute. Don't worry, I'm not going to offend anybody. I'd say this if Father Woodman was here, all right? How many of you have somebody in your life that's harder to love than the rest of the people? Don't yell out any names, all right? Now, you know what just happened? Some people, perhaps in this room, raised their hand and they thought of you. Isn't that crazy? I know. You can't believe. You're like, no, Pastor, really. I mean, the chances that that happened just aren't good. As we push forward in Advent and that anticipation, that excited preparation, hey, Jesus is going to show up. He's going to be born. He's going to be the Savior of the world. One of the things we work on is loving other people. Here's the problem. Even if we start to understand the origin, the timing, the start of God's love for us, we start to understand the scope, the sufficient nature of God's love. What happens all too often in our American culture in 2017 is we stop right there and we go, oh, this is good. And we take in a ton of God's love. And spiritually speaking, we become unhealthy because we're not loving other people. Now, don't get defensive, all right? Well, Pastor, but if you knew, well, I'm not the smartest guy in any room, but I know what it's like to have people that aren't the funnest to love. But maybe that's me for some people. Or maybe that used to be me. Maybe the way I treated somebody causes them to feel that way. But if you're a believer, look at the last line on that scripture there in 1 John. He says, we love each other as a result of when people are loving and kind to us. Just write down on the note sheet somewhere there, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you want some help of some biblical definitions of love. One of the things that you'll find there is that love doesn't keep records. Oh, we're good at keeping records. No record of wrong. Well, you see, Pastor, I'd love them better, except for back in 1943, I'm like, come on, man, I wasn't even alive. I'm not even sure if my dad was alive. In fact, I know he wasn't, right? And we put up all these reasons of why we can't do what the Bible clearly tells us to do. Any parents in here ever have the very reasonable expectation that their children would do the reasonable things that you instructed them to do? Did anybody grow up in that house? I mean, like, I think Elf on the Shelf is really, I think it's kind of funny. All joking aside, we had Paddle in the Drawer. That's what we had. It was toll painted and everything. It looked cute, but it hurt like the dickens, right? My parents just had this reasonable expectation that, like, I would do the things they were trying to raise me and instruct me to do. And we read about being adopted into the family of God, and God's our Heavenly Father, and He says, here's how you can love other people, because He loved you first. Has nothing to do with how you feel about them. Whether you have a bunch of energy right now, whether you've got any open slots on your calendar, it doesn't say any of that stuff. What the Bible says is that you can love these people because He loved you first. And you just love and you don't love with expectation of return. That's called keeping records. Well, you see, Pastor, I was really loving towards them for a lot of years. But every time, I mean, one time, they took 4.5 days to send a thank you. Well, you didn't probably try to love them. You did something so that they would notice and give you a thank you. Now, is it wrong to say thank you? No, of course not. But if I am doing something loving towards you, thinking that you're going to love me back, and then I'm maybe so foolish, I'm not calling you foolish, I'm saying me. If I'm so foolish as to set up a timeline for your response, so I have scripted your response and I've set up a timeline for your response, how many know that we're starting to get a recipe for disaster here? We've moved so far away from what Scripture says, here's how you can love people. Because you've been a recipient of the love of God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Now, let's be honest. Relationships can be painful. Anybody willing to raise their hand with me? Like, this can be. We're not immune to that. But if I start to process my own life, just my life, and some of the offensive things that I've done to God, some of the things where I caused God pain, where the things where I caused God embarrassment, I sure am glad that God didn't say, hey, Todd, I'm going to love you, but I'm going to love you 40 years after you did that stuff. I'm going to wait till you go over by the store and get just the right thank you card. And cry just enough. Plead. See, the fuel, if I can put it this way, for us to love other people is not in us. It's not in our human nature. It's an outcome. It's a result of being a recipient of God's love. And you go, hey, I can do this. Now, I like it when people are nice. Don't get me wrong. All right? In fact, I'll just go on the record. If you want to be nice to me today or any other day, I'm open to that. But your response shouldn't dictate whether I love you. People's in your life response, positive or negative, shouldn't affect it. Stress, budget. We can put up 1,000 different reasons. But 1 John goes over and over again of here's what love looks like. It's kind of harsh to think that, man, if I'm not loving people, Scripture says God's love isn't in me. Just in case, because I don't want you mad at me, I didn't write that. I'm just reading it to you. But it's incredibly freeing and incredibly empowering to think, hey, you know what? I can just tell you about me. I have been a firsthand recipient of God's love in ways that I don't deserve. In a size and shape that I could never pay God back. I just can't. But what I could do is allow him to live inside of me and love other people. And it sounds a little cold. I don't mean it that, but then maybe we'll borrow a secular saying and just let the chips fall where they may. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know my neighbor. This gal is a piece of work. Again, she probably thinks the same thing about you, but anyway. Well, you might have to work a little harder. You might have to do something a little different. I'm just stubborn enough. Sometimes I work a little extra hard and reach out to those people where I just know it's going to irritate them. But maybe there's going to be that time where I get it right, where they're open to God, and they realize I'm not as crazy as they think. I'm just trying to love people in our world. There's not a lot of things that we should be great at as a church. One of the things we should be great at is loving God and loving other people. That changes hearts. You can't change your heart, but God's love does. And the reason we can love is because we're first-hand recipients. Now, bottom line is, friends, is everybody has to make that decision. You need to make an initial reception to God's love, and then it's a continual, hey, I'm going to trust God. You know, a lot of times we get weirded out and we go, man, I don't know if God, you know what I mean? Listen, friends, you can trust God. He's trustworthy. If you're committing your life to him that says, hey, I'm gonna bank that at the end of my life when I passed away and I don't have any control of what's going on, I'm gonna make an entrance into heaven because of your work, then you can trust God tomorrow with whatever you got going. You can do it. You can love the people that are in your life right now. You can love the people that God's bringing into your life that you don't know he's preparing you for. Don't kid yourself. You don't have the strength. You don't have the ability. Our human love runs out pretty quick. Right? It's really quiet in here. Let me tell you just something that happened last night. It was just a little love thing that happened in my truck. It's not weird. I shouldn't have said. What a group of people. You should have seen guys were like, I had the men's attention there for a minute. We're down. We're waiting for the Christmas ships, right? We didn't go last year. I wanted to take E to see him this year. How do you explain to a five-year-old boats with Christmas lights on them? I don't know how to do it. So we're down here, and there was some barge traffic, so I'm guessing that they didn't come down river. So it's like 7:30. So when you got a five-year-old in your truck for 90 minutes, yeah, anyway. Yeah, Phil, go ahead. Pastor, you're awesome. Just say it. It won't hurt you. So we're heading home, and we have fun, and we see him and everything, and just great. And he starts to talk, right? And I don't know a lot about foster parenting, but I do know when the kids want to start to talk, you just let them talk, and he's talking about parents and stuff. And he says, yeah, I like having a funny mom and a funny dad. Oh, that felt good. He, smart kid, this kid, right? He gets it, right? He's only been with us for a year and a half, and he's really picking this stuff up. And Pam says, no, he's not saying we're funny. He wants parents that are funny. Well, there's no way on God's green earth that can be true. So I said, she goes, well, honey, do you think that Dad and I are funny? He goes, quick as kids will do, go. He goes, no. In my mind, this is exactly what your mind does. I go, well, kid, you ought to, man, the things I've done for you. I had three boys. They're all young adults now. They never woke me up once at night. They always went to their mom. I had them trained well. E has never woken Pam up at night. He comes to me. I wish I felt, aw. But at 3:30 in the morning, that's not always my response. So, Pastor, what does this have to do with love? Just that quick, I went to, that kid ought to be a little grateful. Not to mention the fact he should understand I'm funny. Just to close the deal, my wife says, honey, do you want different parents that are funny? Mm-hmm. Why don't you grab another knife, kid, and just, you know. Just like parenting your biological kids, you have to just say to yourself, it's not about me. Right? It's not about me. It's not about you. You got a lot of opportunities in the next several weeks to love on people. Many of the opportunities are going to be of a much more simple nature than you might be currently thinking. You don't have to put out a lavish spread. You don't have to make their car payment for the next 3 months. You just take the love that God's put in your heart and you don't keep it all. You push it out. You give it away to other people. Oh, I don't feel prepared. I don't feel qualified. I'm tired. I'm this, I'm that. You're 100 things. But you're also, if you've chosen, a firsthand recipient of the amazing, unexplainable love of God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And that's what verse 19 says we can do. We love each other as a result of his loving us first. That's already happened. Before he built the world as we knew it, he was loving you. Kevin's got a great song that we're going to close with. I want you to stand with me. I'm going to pray specifically. It's one of the things I've been praying for us all week long, even as you've been reading about hope, that God would, starting today, he'd transform our hearts in unique ways with his love. All humor aside, friends, I'm under no delusions that my words are going to change your heart. But God's word can. God's work in your heart can. And that's where the power starts to happen. Let's pray together. Father God, even as you've given us these clear instructions in our word, in your word, that we can and we should, it's very natural for us to love other people because you loved us first. You started it. Your intention was never that we would keep it all, but that as you live in us, we would be generous distributors of your love, regardless of results, regardless of feedback, positive or negative. Lord, help us even today. In a scarce few minutes, God, you know we're going to scatter and we're going to go a bunch of different directions. But as only you can do, would you work at an individual heart, soul level and help us to understand how wide your love for us as individuals. How long your love is, how high it is, how deep it is, how specific it is to us as individuals, how powerful it is to change our own hearts and lives of people that maybe sometimes we don't assign hope to them, but there is. Just like there was for me. Lord, that that amazing love, that love that says we'll never exhaust it, we'll never understand it all and be able to move past it, but it's just core to who we are, the work that you've done. Lord, finally, I just say thank you for that love. Help us to be firsthand receivers and distributors for your glory. Amen.